Now, just before we begin to take a look at the connection between Scripture and the call to stand your ground, let me share just a little bit more information with you about what's happening with this. The Christian Science Monitor gives us some very significant information about this. One of the things that they point out is that ever since the Stand Your Ground laws have kicked into play in at least 30 states now, the homicide rate has increased 8%. There have been 600 additional killings across America that can be related directly to the Stand Your Ground laws enactment. But there's more that they have noticed. When the Stand Your Ground law is invoked during a trial, during a case, it is more likely to be upheld when a white person claims that a black person made that white person feel threatened, as opposed to when a black person says that a white person made the black person feel threatened. We can even see that there's a problem with the consistent enforcement of this law when a black person says that another black person made them feel threatened, as in the case of Marissa Alexander, who fired the warning shot at her husband. So now we have a situation wherein, in addition to having an environment wherein unethical law enforcement officers can claim that they feel threatened, they feel that their lives are being threatened, and they can shoot to kill, ordinary citizens can claim that they feel that their lives are threatened and they can shoot to kill. And no surprise, black citizens are most likely to be the ones to end up catching the bullets when the shots are fired. And the one claiming that they feel that their lives are threatened, being let go, being let off the hook after shooting and killing an American citizen, can expect to be let off the hook if they are white and have shot and killed a black person. That is our American reality. It is a sad one. It is an unfortunate one, but one that is just as real as the reality of killings that existed during the days of slavery, and is just as real as the reality of the killings of black people during the Jim Crow era. So is there a connection between the rallying cry, the phrase, stand your ground, that is becoming so important, so significant to the thinking of many in America and Scripture? Well, let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 46, where the prophet Jeremiah is sending a message to Egypt in behalf of God, who is ultimately the one sending this message through the prophet Jeremiah. And he's sending a message against the army of Pharaoh, Necho, the king of Egypt, who had been defeated by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And he was letting him know what was going to happen and the war that would take place between Egypt and Babylon. And he began to speak these words. This is not the beginning of what he began to speak, but this is part of what he said to him. And I'm going to show you why I'm skipping to this part. We're beginning at verse 18. Jeremiah chapter 46, beginning at verse 18. And again, I'll be reading from the NIV, the New International Version. As surely as I live, declares the King, whose name is the Lord Almighty, the King, whose name is the Lord Almighty, one will come who is like Tabor among the mountains, like Carmel by the sea. Pack your belongings for exile, you who live in Egypt, for Memphis will be laid waste and lie in ruins without inhabitant. Egypt is a beautiful heifer, but a gadfly is coming against her from the north. The mercenaries in her ranks are like fattened calves. They too will turn and flee together. They will not stand their ground. For the day of disaster is coming upon them, the time for them to be punished. Egypt will hiss like a fleeing serpent as the enemy advances in force. They will come against her with axes, like men who cut down trees. They will chop down her forest, declares the Lord. Dense though it be, they are more numerous than locusts. They cannot be counted. The daughter of Egypt will be put to shame, handed over to the people of the north. The Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says, I am about to bring punishment on Ammon, god of Thebes, on Pharaoh, on Egypt, and her gods, and her kings, and on those who rely on Pharaoh. I will hand them over to those who seek their lives, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and his officers. Later, however, Egypt will be inhabited, as in times past, declares the Lord. There's so much in that historical prophecy, which was also a prophecy about times to come. But as it pertained to what was going on right then and right there, God was making it clear that he was sending in a nation, a military force, the Babylonian force, to punish Egypt for their idolatry, for worshiping false gods, and for many other sins that were not enumerated in that passage that I read. And because God was in his holiness, in his righteousness, in his wisdom, sending the Babylonian army against the Egyptian army, the Egyptians would not be able to, as God put it, stand their ground. They would try to stand their ground, but they would not succeed because God was sending in an army to punish them for their wickedness, for their sins, for their rebellion, their persistent rebellion against God. In this context, Jeremiah chapter 46, there would be an attempt to stand their ground by a military force, not by an individual citizen. The Egyptian military would try to stand their ground when attacked by an opposing military force, the Babylonian army. And God made it clear to them they would not have the ability to stand their ground. This was in a case that involved the military of one nation against the military of another nation. Not individual citizens confronting someone who's walking through their neighborhood, through their country. Not in a case where someone had parked a chariot in a space where someone else felt like that chariot should not be parked. Stand your ground. They would not be able to do it. In just a few, I'm going to share with you another instance where God's people are admonished to stand their ground. And I'm going to share with you the context.